The Apostle Paul boldly declared, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." This same boldness is declared by our full-time missionaries as they serve in many parts of the world. Essentially, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a five-ingredient recipe for eternal life. First, let us consider what can become of us if we follow this recipe, and then we can consider each of the ingredients. What do we know about eternal life? We learn from Moses 1 and 39 that the Lord's work and glory is to bring to pass our immortality and eternal life. This teaches us that immortality and eternal life are separate and distinct. The gift of eternal life, which is promised only when certain conditions are met, is so much greater than the gift of immortality. According to Elder Bruce R. McConkie, eternal life is not a name that has reference only to an unending duration of future life. Immortality is to live forever in a resurrected state, and by the grace of God, all men will gain this unending continuance of life. But only those who obey the fullness of the gospel law will inherit eternal life. It is the greatest gift of all gifts of God, for it is the kind, the status, the type, the quality of life that God Himself enjoys. Thus, those who gain eternal life receive exaltation. They are sons of God, joint heirs of Christ, members of His church of the firstborn. They overcome all things. They have all power and receive the fullness of the Father. The duty of our missionaries, as stated in page 1 of Preach My Gospel, is to invite others to come unto Christ by helping them receive the restored gospel through faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement, repentance, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end. In many cookbooks, there are pictures of perfect dishes that recipes make, the fullness of the joy of cooking. These pictures are important because they help us envision the outcome if we strictly follow the directions as given in the recipe. It is important to begin with an end in mind, but the end represented by the pictures in the cookbook is an end that is only possible if everything is done right. If directions are not followed, or an ingredient is left out, or miscalculated, the desired taste and appearance are seldom obtained. The picture of a perfect dish, however, can serve as motivation to try again to create something that is both delicious and beautiful. When we think of eternal life, what is the picture that comes to our mind? I believe that if we could create in our mind a clear and true picture of eternal life, we would start behaving differently. We would not need to be prodded to do the many things involved with enduring to the end, like doing our home teaching or visiting teaching, attending our meetings, going to the temple, living moral lives, saying our prayers, or reading the scriptures. We would want to do all these things and more because we realize that they will help prepare us to go somewhere. We yearn to go. Why does a missionary's purpose need to begin by helping others receive faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement? In order to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, a person must first embrace Him whose gospel it is. A person must trust the Savior and what He has taught us. They must believe that He has power to keep His promises given to us by virtue of the atonement. When someone has faith in Jesus Christ, they accept and apply His atonement and His teachings. The Savior taught his disciples, as recorded in the 27th chapter of 3rd Nephi, the interdependence of his gospel and his earthly ministry and atonement, when he said, "Behold, I give unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I give unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world." Faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement turns us to him. The world teaches us that seeing is believing, but our faith in our Lord leads us to believe so that we can see him and the Father's plan for us. Our faith also leads to action. It leads us to commitments and changes associated with true repentance, as Amulek taught in the 3rd chapter of Alma. Therefore, only unto him that has faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Why do individuals repent before they are baptized and receive the Holy Ghost? The voice of Christ proclaimed to the Nephites an end to the law of sacrifice. And then he said, "And ye shall offer a sacrifice unto me, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost." This same requirement is discussed in the 20th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, in a verse we often use to describe the requirements for baptism. Verse 37 states, "All those who humble themselves before God and desire to be baptized and come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirits and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins shall be received by baptism into his church." These verses of Scripture teach essential lessons about the nature of repentance as preparation for baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost. First, repentance involves an attitude of humility. In order to prepare to be baptized and take upon ourselves the name of Christ, we must humble ourselves before him and offer our sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit and accept his will. Second, we learn that persons must witness before Christ or a representative of the church that they have repented of all their sins. Finally, they recognize that repentance, which is a cleansing process, precedes baptism, which is a cleansing ordinance, in order to prepare someone to receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a third member of the Godhead. The gift of the Holy Ghost is only available to those who are cleansed by the repentance of their sins of the world. Why do we need baptism to receive the Holy Ghost? Orson F. Whitney taught, "Baptism is twofold. It has a double mission to perform. It not only cleanses, it illuminates the soul. It makes manifest the things of God, past, present, future, and imparting a sure testimony of truth. The soul cleansed of sin is in a condition to enjoy the abiding influence of the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth not in unclean tabernacles." Water baptism begins the work of purification and enlightenment. Spirit baptism completes it. The ordinance of baptism by water and fire is described as a gate by Nephi. Why is baptism a gate? Because it is an ordinance denoting an entry into a sacred and binding covenant between God and man. Man promised to forsake the world, to love and serve their fellow man, visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, proclaim peace, preach the gospel, serve the Lord, and keep his commandments. The Lord promises to pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon us, redeem his saints both temporally and spiritually, numbering them among the first resurrection, and offering life eternal. Baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost are prescribed ways to enter the straight and narrow path to eternal life. According to the Apostle Paul, baptism also denotes our descent into a watery grave from which we are raised with a newness of life in Christ. The ordinance of baptism symbolizes Christ's death and resurrection. We die with him so we can live with him. In a sense, baptism is the first saving ordinance, and receiving the Holy Ghost helps each of us press forward and endure to the end. How do we endure to the end? Enduring to the end requires faithfulness to the end, as in the case of Paul, who told Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Obviously, this is not an easy task. It is intended to be difficult, challenging, and ultimately refining as we prepare to enter and live with our Father in heaven and receive eternal blessings. Enduring to the end is definitely not a do-it-yourself project. First, it requires the Savior's redempting power. We cannot return to our Heavenly Father's presence unless we are clean, and so we must ultimately repent. Ideally, we repent moment by moment, but we also attend sacrament meeting each week to partake of the sacrament and renew our baptismal covenants. Second, enduring to the end requires the Holy Ghost, who will both guide and sanctify us. Third, we must be an integral part of a community of saints, serving and receiving service from our brothers and sisters in the gospel. With baptism, we become part of the body of Christ. Each of us has a role to play. Each of us is important. But in order to succeed, we must be unified in our Savior. Fourth, we must share the gospel with others. The promise of bringing even one soul unto the Lord are profound and eternal. Moreover, the gospel takes deeper root in those who share it frequently. Finally, we must always maintain faith and hope in Christ to endure to the end. And among the many ways we do this are praying, fasting, and reading the Scriptures. These practices will fortify us against the subtle schemes and fiery darts of the adversary. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it defines the way we can partake of the fruits of the tree of life, experience the exceeding great joy that only it can bring and endure to the end through all of the challenges of mortal life. The gospel teaches us all we need to know to return and live with our Father in heaven as resurrected and glorified beings. May all of us maintain in our mind a vision of eternal life. May we be diligent in following the recipe of eternal life. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we endure to the end. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.